Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You hear that, Brandon? Gentleness. And self-control. Against such things there is no law. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, be fruitful. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them, I'm going to be fruitful. You may be seated in the presence of God. We started off, as we do typically with our series, giving you what we're going to cover, what questions we're going to answer. And the question we started out last week is, why as a believer should I be fruitful? We'll jump into today, how can I be fruitful? Where does it actually come from? Where does that fruit originate? How to be fruitful in every season of life. I've got good news for everyone in the room and those watching online today. God has made it a possibility for you to be fruitful in every season of life, no matter what that season looks like, no matter what's going on in that season, you can bear fruit. And then we'll answer, what does the fruit of the Spirit look like in real life? So many times we preachers do a disservice to everyone that listens or everyone that maybe watches the replay on Facebook or listens to the podcast, because we teach and we speak in platitudes and there's a lot of inspiration but not a lot of application. But by the end of this series, at the end of September, you're going to know what the fruit of the Spirit looks like in real life. Just to recap real quick, God created us to be a dominant force on this earth. The way that we are a dominant force, church, is exuding the fruit of the Spirit in everyday life. That it's not something that we shout about, that the Spirit is not something that we receive and speak in tongues on a Sunday at 11:45, but then by Sunday at 3 o'clock, it is already gone back to how it was pre-service. God has called us to be a dominant force anywhere and everywhere our foot should tread. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God creates us to operate with dominion. He created us in His image so that we look like Him, and then He blessed His creation. So if God created us to have dominion and to be a dominant force, and we look like Him and we carry His blessing, the determining factor if we really are Christ-like. And church, our goal should not be the world's goals. Our goal should always be, do I look more like Christ today than I did yesterday? Do I sound more like Jesus when I go to bed tonight than when I woke up? And you say, how do I walk, talk, and act like Jesus? The more time you spend with someone, the more you're going to be able to act like them. A lot of times, I remember, how many of you remember before cell phones, we actually had phones that connected to the wall. Y'all remember those? And man, I thought it was something when they invented cordless phones. Because if you grew up in a house like me, that kitchen phone had a cord on it that was about 40 feet long. And every once in a while, you'd be cooking something or making Pop-Tarts, and you'd have that phone, and then you'd be all the way across the kitchen, and you'd let that pressure off, and that phone would just... But those phones, man, they you couldn't destroy those phones. But I remember I used to answer the phone, and once I went through puberty and I got this voice, I've had this voice since I was like 12, they would say, Pastor Finder? And I was like, no, this is Brandon. Okay, where's your dad at? And then as I got older, I loved to, they'd say, Pastor Finder, and I'd say, yes. Because I wanted the tea. I wanted to see what they were calling about. But the more time you spend with someone, the more you're going to act like them, the more you're going to talk like them, the more you're going to react like them, the more you're going to walk like them. So if we're going to be Christ-like, we have to spend more time with Christ than just Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. It's got to be more than just a scripture a day on a calendar that we peel off in the morning. We've got to spend, come on, in the morning, in the noontime, in the evening. Your relationship with God should be such that He can wake you up at 3 a.m. and you know it's not the pizza talking. Come on. You know it's the Holy Spirit has rolled you out of bed saying, hey, this can't wait until 8:30. I've got something I need to tell you that is going to shape you and move you or bless you or challenge you or make you more like me. So to be Christ-like, we're made to have dominion. We carry the blessing. We look like him. The determining factor if we really are Christ-like is what do we produce? Have you ever met someone that called themselves a Christian and within 10 minutes, you're like, I don't know what kind of Christian you are, but you and I are not the same. They're letting F-bombs drop. They're gossiping, talking nasty, telling dirty jokes. What comes out of us? What we produce? Is it creation? Is it chaos? Is it love? Is it hate? Is it faith? Is it fear? What you produce, what comes out of us as believers tells us what spirit controls us. What spirit controls us? You and I are being controlled by a spirit today. I just need to know, is it big S? Is it the Holy Spirit of God? The first words that God ever spoke to man was be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful, not a suggestion, but yet a command. The five commands God gives all of mankind is be fruitful, multiply, replenish, which means to restore, subdue, which means to take control, and have dominion, which means keep control. Now let's move into some new material and answer the question, how can I be fruitful and where does it come from? Here is the sobering truth that I just alluded to. We are all bearing fruit every moment of every day. You know what I can't stand is cantaloupe. I can't stand cantaloupe. And the other green melon that looks like or tastes like cantaloupe, honeydew. If I got to put a bunch of extra stuff on it, it ain't good. I like pineapple, strawberries, bananas, Fredericksburg peaches the size of your head. We're all producing fruit. What comes out of us, it really tells the tale of what has come into us. See, when I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it changed me. Why? Because something came into me that is now a part of me and it changes everything about me. And so if you want the fruit of the Spirit, you've got to check and make sure that it's the Holy Spirit of God coming to rest in you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I think it's Matthew 7 says. And so we need to know what kind of river is coming out of us. What kind of fruit is coming out of us? Not in times of peace, but when you're under pressure. There's a lot of us that can act right, talk right, fake the smile until we're checked. And when we're checked is when words come out that you didn't want to come out. When a reaction comes out that we didn't want to come out. I want to encourage people in the room today that the Holy Spirit is available to you right here, right now. You say, well, I'm not good enough. If you are a believer, you don't have to be good enough. Jesus was good enough. And he said, as a believer, I'm going to send a comforter to you that is going to lead and guide you into all truth. I am here to tell you the Spirit of God is available to everybody, which means there is nobody in the room or watching online that cannot produce a good fruit, that cannot make an impact where God has planted them. We are all bearing fruit at every moment of every day. Some of it's good fruit, some of it's bad fruit. Some of it's the right fruit, some of it's the wrong fruit. Some of it's rotten fruit. When you find somebody with rotten fruit, ask them where they got it from. If they got it from someone else, they can get rid of it. If they produced it themselves, you need to get away from them. Why? Because if you've ever seen rotten fruit in a bowl together, it's going to make everything rotten. So I need to know, did that come from a third party or is that something you produced? Because if that's something you produce, I want to get way over here so that spirit doesn't mess up what God is doing in me and through me. If you don't like the fruit, change the seed. And you're in control of the seed. Better yet, if you don't like the fruit, change your garden. Some of us are trying to produce good fruit in bad soil. Some of us are trying to, I could preach the entire parable of the seed and the stony ground and the wayside and all of those things, but let me just encourage you. That's another sermon for another day. Let me just encourage you that you can try for the rest of your life to produce something good, but if you're not in the place God has called you to be, if you are not surrounded by people that are going to speak to your faith and speak life to your situation and speak life to your garden and help you understand what it takes to literally produce good fruit, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. That's why Living Way, this is good soil. Listen, you might come in here and sometimes you might be checked in the spirit, but what we're really saying is hey, if you want to produce fruit a year from now, you're going to have to plant yourself down. If you're going to want to produce fruit in your family, you're going to have to bring them to kids' church and youth church. If you want to have a strong, healthy marriage, both of you are going to have to say, hey, we're both in the garden producing the fruit that God wants us to produce. John 15:5, I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. Can I encourage somebody with just this quick thought that's not in my notes? Just take this as the Holy Spirit telling you. Some of us, life is not working because you refuse to be a branch and you want to be the vine. Some of us are so concerned. Let me say that again. Some of our life is not working because we have destined ourselves to be the vine and not a branch. Some of us have to be in control. That's why our relationships have not worked. Come on, I'm preaching to me some here too. Sometimes our money doesn't work because we have to be in control. Sometimes our job doesn't work because we have to be in control. Sometimes our ministry doesn't work because we have to be in control. But blessed be to God in the word when Jesus said, hey, I'm going to do the hard part. I'm the vine and you are the branch. I am here to tell you and encourage somebody. Let's take our hands off the steering wheel and learn to ride shotgun and say, God, whatever you're doing, I want to be a part of it. Wherever you're going, I want to be a part of it. Lord, you tell me what we're producing, God, and that's what we're going to produce. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, he is the vine. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, I am the branch. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. Two things here. Jesus said, if you're going to produce, you have to live in me. And I have to live in you. I love that. I'd never resolved that verse in my spirit because I've always said that a real relationship with Jesus Christ, you should not be able to tell where Brandon ends and he begins and where Jesus ends and I begin. We should not be able to decipher or split the two. The writer would say, in him I live, move, and have my being. In him I live, I abide in him. In him I live, move, and have my being. The other writer would say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, wait a minute. Are you in him or is he in you? Yes. Why? Because he's the vine. I'm the branch. The branch doesn't tell the vine what to produce. The branch doesn't tell the vine where we're going to grow. The branch doesn't tell the vine. The vine says, hey, branch, this is what we're going to produce. I know you don't like cantaloupe, but this one's not for you. This one's for the crowd. This one's for the friend. This one's for the relationship. This one's for the marriage. This one's for the ministry. This one's for the church. And see, we've got to get used to being able to produce things that aren't for us because sometimes it's not always about us, but it's about what Jesus is going to do through us. And I am here to tell you, San Antonio is hungry, and what they're hungry for, Bad Bunny can't fix it. Come on now. Pitbull can't fix it. The Spurs can't fix it. Yesterday proven UT can't fix it. A&M can't fix it. Money can't fix it. The only thing that can fix it is when we are in the vine and we are grafted in. And God, I don't call the shots, but as a follower of Christ, you do. Pastor Mandy and I are in the stage in our relationship where neither one of us want to drive. Any marriages to that place yet? And so when you go out to eat, and listen, we live in Seguin, so it's a 30-minute drive anywhere. And so I'm talking about, we're still in the house. We're 20 minutes away from leaving, and we start, hey, you're going to drive, right? Nah, you're going to drive. Then I'm like, babe, I've been driving all day. Well, shit, I've been working all day. And then we start bargaining. Well, if you drive there, I'll drive back. And then we start thinking back. Well, man, I drove two places in a row last month. It's your turn to drive. And because Mandy's such a great wife, she usually gives in first. And she drives. Because this is the excuse I use. Babe, man, I got to work on my social media, and I got things I need to post, and I got teams we got to talk to and all of these things. And so she gives in. But then while she's driving, I'm like, hey, can you go a little quicker? We need to get there in a few minutes. Why'd you take that stop sign? So that was a hard stop. Come on, get around and go around this semi. And you know what she tells me? I'm driving. I'm the one that has the steering wheel. I'm the one that's pushing the accelerator or the brake. If you wanted to drive, you can drive. And I feel like somebody in the church today or online today, I just need to remind you, when Jesus said, follow me, he meant forever. You don't get to jump in front of him. You don't get to tell him, go faster. You don't get to tell him, hey, when are we going to overtake? We lose that ability when we say, you're the vine. I'm the branch. You're the vine. I'm the branch. When was the last time you woke up and in your daily morning prayer, hopefully you have a daily morning prayer, you said, all right, Jesus, what are we doing today? Not, God, I need you to do this. And God, I need you to do this. And God, you better show up at work and handle that boss, or I'm going to have to handle. When was the last, God, what are we doing today? What are we doing? He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth. I love how we didn't even start with fruit. Much fruit. See, here's where you just get fruit. When you abide in him or he abides in you. But when you get to the place where I'm in him and he's in me, where he is in my life, but I am in his presence. Come on. He says you're going to bring forth much fruit. So much fruit that it feeds your family and your neighbor. So much fruit that you get your fill and then you get more seed so that you can sow for the next harvest. So much fruit that you can drop some off at the Living Way Food Bank. You can go to the San Antonio Food Bank. You can feed an entire block. You can meet their needs. Why? Because God is doing so much in my life, and I'm letting him drive, and I'm letting him call the shots, and I'm following him. He has produced so much fruit in my life. I got so much joy. Here's you some joy. I got so much self-control. Here's some self-control. I've got so much love that even if you hit me, I'll turn to the other cheek and I'll still tell you I love you. Why? Much fruit. Then he goes on to say this. This is Jesus talking. For without me, you can do nothing. Let's remember that, church. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have woke up today. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have been able to swing our feet over the side of the bed and stand up. Without Jesus, you've breathed thousands of times already since midnight. If you hear Pastor Mandy tell you about me snoring last night, it's a lie and I don't believe it. But next time you hear me snoring, Pastor Mandy, just remember that's God's breath in me. Saying, I'm not through with him yet. I didn't deserve that, but he kept on breathing through me. I didn't deserve what he did, but here I stand today. I'm in my right mind. I've got a testimony and a future. I can do nothing if I'm separated from the vine. But I want to encourage somebody today, quit plugging yourself in on Sundays at 11 and unplugging yourselves at 12:30. Quit plugging yourself in when you need it and unplugging yourself. When I got grafted in to the vine and I realized my part to play is the branch and to produce fruit, but he is the vine, I never unplugged myself from him. The last 22 years, I've been walking with him, talking with him. He has helped me through some dark moments. The greatest fruit of my life has come in the darkest seasons of my life. Why? Because I didn't step out, but I even more so, I plugged in. God, you're the vine. I'm but a mere branch in this whole process. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. Here's the question, church. What vine are you connected to? What vine are you connected to? That's an important question to answer or discussion to have, because the vine decides the fruit. The branch doesn't get to say, today I'm going to make a peach. The vine tells, no, this is who we are, this is what we do. Let me say that again. The vine, Jesus gets to decide, Brandon, this is who we are, this is what we do. But God, you don't know what they did to me. I do know what they did to you, but this is who we are, this is what we do. But God, I want to punch up. Nope, we're going to turn the other cheek. Why? This is who we are, and this is what we do. The vine decides the fruit. So here is a declaration. Take a picture on the wall, write it down if you're a note taker. I am connected to Jesus. I am filled with his spirit. I will bear his fruit. I am connected to Jesus. I am filled with his spirit. I bear his fruit. Have 2.5 minutes here, and this is going to be so simple to some, but I just love to encourage you with this. We hear that word fruitful, be fruitful, be fruitful. To break that word to be fruitful means to be full of fruit. When you're full of fruit, see, when we're not full of fruit, we never look at the places that we can meet a need, because we're looking at, do I have enough for me? When we're full, then we start seeing, all right, Jesus, I can minister here. Jesus, I can evangelize here. Jesus, I can share my testimony here. Why? Because I've got so much joy, I don't know what to do with it all. I have so much peace, an irrational peace, I don't know what to do with it all, so I'm just going to give it away. You know why? Because I'm connected to the vine, and I can't outgive God. As quick as I give peace away, more peace has been produced. As quick as I give love away, more love has been produced. Why? Because get this, as you give fruit away, what's in the middle of that fruit? More seed. As you give fruit away, you are literally planting seeds that they're going to get a harvest on, but so are you. I am here to encourage you today. It's not about what you don't have. It is about what you do have and what you have access to in Christ. The abundance of Christ comes in fruit too. And so it's not just about getting half fruit, some fruit, but he said, I want you to be fruitful, full of fruit. Be faithful, full of faith. Well, I'm hopeful. That's good. You're full of hope. I'm so peaceful. It's so peaceful here. You come to our house, it's very peaceful. Well, it was until the Alabama-UT fourth quarter yesterday. It wasn't as peaceful. Full of peace. You ever met somebody joyful, full of joy? However, have you ever met someone that says, man, I'm just so fearful? Full of fear. That tells me they're not connected to the vine that I'm connected to. To be doubtful, full of doubt. Hopeless are those that have less hope. Faithless, those that have less faith. Having God's Holy Spirit, church, is what produces the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The enemy has loved to divide the church over the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, Holy Ghost in the New Testament. You say, why is it called Holy Ghost? Because for there to be a ghost, somebody has to die. And Jesus died and rose again. But in the New Testament, it is called a Holy Ghost. If you have his spirit, you will produce his fruit. If your life is void of his spirit, you will be void of fruit. Stand on your feet today, church. Church has been so divided. The church, Big C Church, Worldwide Church, denominational church, has been so divided over the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Y'all know where I land on that. You need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. You need it to go to Walmart. You need it to go to Olive Garden. You definitely do now, because you got to pass Twin Peaks to get to Olive Garden. You need it. It's all right to laugh there, y'all. Come on. You need the Holy Ghost to stay married, get married, raise kids. You need the Holy Ghost to keep a job, get a job. But speaking in tongues is the evidence. The fruit of the Spirit is not what comes out of your mouth only, but what comes out of your life. So now when the question is asked, do I need the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Because that's the only place you're going to get the love, the peace, and the joy, not just for you. See, we got to get out of the Western thinking that it's all about me. And we have to remember, God gave me peace, not just for me, but so that I can be a conduit of peace, a vessel of joy, a vehicle for the long suffering of God. It's a gift that comes through the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage those of you in the room today to not think about it, not pray about it, but in this moment, if you feel God's Spirit tugging on your heart, this altar is open. For the last 47 years, this altar has been open every single church service. On the chance that we've had a pastor, a visiting pastor, come in and they say, how do you want to end the service? We say, oh, we end with altar calls. We end laying hands on people. We end with people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in water. We end the service with people getting their hands laid on and them getting healed and delivered. And their eyes get big. And I can tell they don't know how to do it. So I say, that's all right. Once you're done, I'll take the mic. We're going to open up the altars. We open up the altars. Why? Because there is a source called Jesus. And in this altar today, you have made a faith step towards the presence of God. There's nothing magical about this altar, but there is something miraculous about faith in action. There's something miraculous that takes place in this altar. It can happen at your seat, but we'd love to be involved in what God is doing in your life. So I want to open the altar for those of you saying, hey, I want to be more fruitful. Hey, I've been lacking joy in my life, and I want joy unspeakable, not just for me, but my family needs it. This world needs it. Maybe you were one of the ones I was talking to that you want to be the vine so bad that life has not been working because you refuse to be the branch. There's only one vine. It's Jesus Christ. See, 22 years ago, I connected into that vine. And I've seen him produce in every area, every season, every stage. Anything connected to me gets the flow of Jesus and his Spirit and his fruit because I'm connected to the vine. Can I just say this real quick? I just feel an urge to say this. When I say and I tell you that Jesus said that I am the vine, I want you to forget about Brandon for a minute. I want you to go to that place in Bible history where Jesus is looking at followers. Jesus is looking at a confused James and John. He's looking at a double-minded Thomas and Peter. And Jesus himself, not a preacher, not a pastor, not a podcast, Jesus looks at them and he says, I am the vine. You're the branch. If you abide in me and I in you, you'll produce much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Not a preacher. Jesus said that. And I echo those words today. Listen, it's launch Sunday. We're going to bring family members into Living Way. But at the end of the day, if you got to choose to connect to Jesus, connect to Living Way, forget Living Way. Connect to Jesus. Forget pastors and preachers and bishops. Connect to Jesus. He is the vine. We are the branch. He flows through us and produces great fruit. Look at this great response from side to side. This altar is filling up. I want to encourage those of you in the room today and online, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is your moment. We've been waiting for you for 47 years. Our teams have prayed for you. We've literally prayed you into the building today. Now we want you to take a step.